Okay, new Mishnah, Tesemet Aleph. Continuing on the topic of Yodos. We said in the previous Mishnah we had a few cases of Yodos, Nedarim. Here are some more examples. If somebody says, K'nidre Rishoyim, that I am making a neder of the kind that Rishoyim do, which means, for example, that the usual explanation that most Mefarshim say is that we're talking about, for example, that you have a particular object in front of him, or Nazir is passing in front of him, or whatever. Therefore, Nadar ben Nazir or Vakarban or Vashvua. So what it means by saying the Nadarim of Rishayim, what kind of Rishayim? We don't mean literally Rishayim as in like people who make Nadarim and don't fulfill them. We mean Rishayim like for this purpose, like people who are careless, they'll make Nadarim not necessarily for a good reason, but just like an anger or whatever, like the kinds that we learned about the last few days. So if he says that I'm making a neder like the nedarim of such rishayim, then it depends. It can mean that he made a neder of nazirus, for example, there's a nazir walking by in front of him. He says I'm making a neder k'nidrei rishayim. What does that imply? And we'll learn in the Gemara. There needs to be more halashen than that, otherwise it's not a yad. Otherwise, not a yad mechiyach. But what it means is, therefore, it means that if a nazir, so the way the Ran explains it is, if a nazir is walking by in front of him, then it means by saying k'nidrei rishayim. It means that he's accepting on himself to be a Nazir like this guy. Or the korban, same idea, a korban, that if there's an animal sitting in front of him and he says, K'nidre Rishayim korban, again, we'll learn in the Gemara, there needs to be more halashen than that, then it means he's designating this animal as a korban. Some of the other Mefarshim on the daf here say that no, actually, korban over here means something else. It means, as Tosfos discusses, that it may mean rather that there's a loaf of bread, for example, or some kind of food there. And by saying k'nidre rishayim korban, he means that he wants to after it to himself like a korban. The concept of hatasav and adarim that we've talked about off and on since the beginning of the Masechta, that you compare an object to a tavar hanadur, to something that is capable of becoming aser through a neder, namely a korban. Then that's what it would mean. Or b'shvua, and similarly, if there's a loaf of bread in front of him and he says k'nidre rishayim that I won't eat it, then it means he's declaring a shvua. Why are we calling these things nidre rishayim? Again, because rishayim usually don't necessarily make rishayim in this sense. People who are a rasha for this purpose will make nedarim casually like that. As opposed to ksherim, which we'll see, they're careful about nedarim because they don't want to take the chance of breaking it. Or we'll learn based on psukim that not necessarily is such a great thing to make a net in. So that's what it means. So it could mean any of those possibilities. The Rambam seems to have a different explanation of it. The Knesset Mishnah explains that the Rambam seems to understand that it's two separate statements. There can be somebody says k'nidre rishayim, and then what it means is that it means that he's declaring a neder. Second of all, it can be that he declares benazir b'korban rishvua. What it would mean is if he says, for example, benazir b'korban rishvua such and such, and that I won't do such and such, and then he ends up doing it, let's say eating this loaf of bread, it means he becomes a nazir because of that. Because he said, I'll become a nazir if I eat it. He's chayav a korban, and he'll be over on a shavua because he made a shavua not to eat it, and he ended up eating it. Masechta Nedarim is talking about, as the name indicates, it's talking about various kinds of Nedarim. We learned in the first Mishnah and the Gemara on it that there can be a concept called Yodos, where you make a normal neder is a person makes a full declaration that such and such an object is also to him. And a discussion among the Rishonim whether the primary way of doing it is saying this object is also to me as if it were a korban, for example, or is it that an equally primary way of saying it is this object is also to me without mentioning the comparison to a korban. Anyway, if you have... A korban is an offering, a sacrifice.
Why is the korban
offered? Oh, because a korban is offered to anybody except until you bring it to Tekdish. It belongs to the Beis Mikdash. And parts of the korban are offered afterwards. They have to be brought on the Mizbeach. So that's the comparison. If a person says, for example, this loaf of bread is like a korban, then he means just like a korban is offered to me, so also this is offered to me.
So same thing apply? Like
no, no, no. It wouldn't mean that if he eats outside of your shalayim that he's chayav misa, but it would mean or whatever. It just means that it just means that it's a real neder, and if he's over on it, then he's going to have to then he's going to be chayav malchus. So then we learned about the concept of yadois, that there can be a partial declaration as long as we can infer from it clearly what he meant, then that's good enough. So our Mishnah is an example of that. Somebody says that I'm making a neder like the nedarim of Rishoyim. What kind of nedarim do Rishoyim make? Rishoyim meaning people who casually make nedarim, not necessarily for a good reason. They can include things like becoming a nazir or obligating themselves in a korban or a shavua. So therefore it could include, it depending on the circumstances, it can include any of the above. Or again, according to the Rambam, it means that it may include all three of them, that his neder, now if he violates it, then he becomes obligated in these three things. K'nidrei K'sherim, on the other hand, if somebody says that I'm making a neder like the nedarim of K'sherim, of good Jews, loyam aklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything, because kosher of Jews don't just make nedarim. What do they do? Can it voice them? But what about if a person says that I'm binding myself, I'm binding myself according to the nedavos, the free will, the free will offerings of k'sherim, then nazir of a korban, then it can include nazirus or it can include korban. The difference is that there's a number of differences that the Rishonim talk about between neder and nedava. One of them is the basic difference we've learned about a few times, that neder is a person declares I'm obligated on korban, for example. And which means, therefore, so now he's obligated to set aside a particular animal for it. If that animal gets lost or stolen or dies or what have you, then he has to replace it with a different one. It's called chayav achrusay. As opposed to a nedava would be that he says this particular animal is a korban, which then there's less. It doesn't have to be replaced. But the point is that the point is that ksherim are more likely to do that. Right, so it's more like you're more likely, a ksherim are more likely to do that because there's less of a chance with that you'll be over. There's an interesting Rashi on Amud Beis that says that you wouldn't be over on Baal Ba'achara even with that, and everybody jumps all over Rashi on that. What are you talking about? There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says you are. But still, we'll learn on Amud Beis why it is that an Adava is preferable to a Neder in the case of Korbanos. That's as far as Korbanos. The Ran asks, okay, very nice. Korbanos, there's a difference between Neder and Nedava. How is there a difference between Neder and Nedava as far as Nazirus? That you're calling Nazirus one of the Nedarim of Rishoyim, but you're calling it one of the Nedavos of Tzadikim, of Ksherim. It's the same Nazirus either way. The Ran says what it is. As far as Nazirus, it's the same thing. Yeah, as far as a carbon, there's a difference whether you have to replace it or not. As far as Nazirus, there doesn't seem to be a difference. He says the vort is that a neder is something that a person doesn't do out of his free will. A neder may be something that a person does, like maybe for improper reasons. As we talked about before, a person might in the heat of the moment make a neder. As opposed to nedava, which implies that he's voluntarily doing it, it means that he's doing it in a way, he's doing it with full consciousness that he's doing it l'shem, for the sake of the Eibishter rather than for some side reason. And so therefore, even within Nazirus, as we'll talk about on Amud Beis, there's different types of Nazirim. You have Nazirim who have people who become Nazir just for frivolous reasons, and then you have, or maybe not frivolous reasons, but whatever, who afterwards come to regret maybe that they took on Nazirus, and then you have people who go into it for the right reasons and go through it for the right reasons. So therefore, you can still make that distinction between Neder and Nedava, even when it comes to Nazirus. A bunch of Mefarshim, by the way, including the Rashba and others, ask, what do we mean over here that Rishoyim make Nedarim and Ksherim make Nedavos? What about, for example, it says that Yaakov made a Neder, by either Yaakov Neder Lemer? So there's various possibilities that they discuss, including it's different when you're making a Neder at a time. It's different when you're making a Neder. He made a neder over there. He made a long neder in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze over there. That if Hashem will be with me and guard me on the path that I'm going on, et cetera. Then Vahaya Hashem Lila Lekim, Vaevan Azois, that this stone which I set up as a matzeva will become a house of Hashem, and everything that you give me, I'll give myself from. That's a neder.
An everlasting object.
No, but the myself is not an everlasting object. But there's a few different reasons. Based on the reasoning that the Ram gave over here, that there's a difference whether you're doing it for the right reasons or not. Yaakov did it for the right reason. So yes, the Torah may be calling it by the term neder, but really it's more of an adaba. There's various
why
other.
Why do you have to make a neder, by the way?
Well, because that's the thing. Some Mefarshim talk about the idea that it is correct when you're in trouble to make a neder. When a person is in a difficult situation, it is a proper thing to make a neder that they'll do something, that they'll do some extra mitzvah or whatever when Hashem saves them from it.
It could be just because you're in the moment.
Right. So as opposed to a neder, for example. What we're saying is that's another answer. That Ashpa gives the answer. If you're in trouble, then yes, you should be making a neder. When we say over here nidre d'shayim, nidre k'shayim, we're not talking about that type of situation. We're talking about the kind of things that a person would do when circumstances are calm and when everything is normal. So then, only Rishayim will make a neder at that point, like in the heat of the moment, and in the heat of an argument or whatever, as opposed to a kosher will be more careful with it because he doesn't want to be over on the neder, and because, as we'll see in the Gemara, maybe it's not such a good thing to make a neder in the first place, and therefore he'll be more cautious and do it as an adava, do it as something that he's doing it purely l'shem shemayim, and making sure to minimize the exposure to the possibility of falling through, basically. So in Yaakov, so the idea would be, according to that, in Yaakov's case, it was an emergency situation. He's running away from Esav. He's running away for his life from Esav. He's going into the lion's den over there with Lavan. So he needs that extra strength, and therefore that's an appropriate time to make a neder.
Looks like the Jewish people in general are always flying away from Lavan and running away.
Well, there is that. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks. On the first part of the Mishnah, when it said Kinidre Rishayim, then it means that it includes Nazir and Korban and Shavua, depending on the circumstances. Who says that's what it means? Vidilma Hachikama. Maybe if the person just says Kinidre Rishayim, like the Nedarim of Rishayim, who says by that he means to say, I am accepting on myself such a neder? Maybe on the contrary. Maybe Hachikama, Vidilma Hachikama, Kinidre Rishayim, Loi Nadarna. On the contrary, I'm not making a neder like the Nedarim of Rishayim. Again, we said before there can be a yad, there can be a partial declaration, but that yad has to be a yad from which you can, from that's suggestive, right, of what he's trying to say. Here you don't have that suggestion. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says you're right. It has to be ba'omer kinidre reshoyim hareini alai v'himenu. What it has to be is, along with the word kinidre reshoyim, he added one more word, which can be any of the following words. Alai, on me, hareini, I, behold I am. Alai, on me, or behemenu, or from it. So then, whichever one of those he uses determines what type of neder he's making. If he says kinidre reshayim hareini, hareini implies that he's trying to take on himself some kind of neder that affects him as a person. Now, a neder, the difference between, we talked about before, the difference between a neder and a shavua is that a neder makes an object also to you, it's an isur chetza, whereas a shavua is something that makes you also to do the thing. So if he says hareini, that behold, I am becoming, actually, it means a gavra thing, but second of all, it means like I'm changing my own status. What would that be? That would be a nazir, therefore be a nazirus. So by saying hareini implies that he wants to become a nazir.
Because a neder.
So nazirus is a type of neder, right? But he's saying kinidre reshayim. So we know it's got to be one of the three. It's either nazir, korban, or shavua. Again, with korban itself, you have the two different opinions over there: whether it means an actual korban, or whether it means a neder that he's matzis in a korban, a neder that he's making this bread or whatever, also as if it was a korban. This, by the way, that I should mention, by the way, that I mentioned before, that the Ram says that the korban thing is, according to the opinion, that it means an actual korban is only if the animal is sitting there. Other Rishonim disagree with that. They point on Amud Beis, we're going to have the case where it's possible to declare an animal, where it's possible to declare a neder of a korban without having the animal in front of you. And therefore, they argue that it doesn't necessarily have to be that the animal is actually sitting in front of you. Maybe if you say kinidre reshayim, alai, which we're going to say now refers to a korban, maybe that could work even if the animal is not there. Anyway, so if he says hareini, then it means v'nazirus. It means that he wants to accept on himself a nazirus. Alai b'korban. If he says kinidre reshayim alai implies that it is a chiyuv that's on me, That would be the korban. That would be a neder. That would be a korban. That would be a neder of a korban, where now he's obligated to bring a korban. Like we said before, a neder of a korban means that he has the obligation, even if the animal that afterwards he designates dies or becomes a balmum or what have you, he has to replace it. The chiyuv is on him until it's actually brought. And heimenu b'shvua. And if he says from it, then that implies that I am not going to eat from it. Well, that's a shvua. I am not going to eat from this bread is the definition of a shvua.
Why not a neder also?
Because a neder would have to be, this bread is also to me. Again, the neder is a chesed thing, the shvur is a gabra thing. So heimenu, saying that kenyidu yashoyim, heimenu, which implies, the I is implied over there, the heimenu means from it, so that would be a shvur. Which, okay, Mefarshim discuss over here the various possibilities. We said there's a yad for Nadarim, but there's also a yad for Shavuos. According to this, you would have to say that there's a yad for Shavuos as well, because he didn't clearly say, I'm also to eat from it.
Okay. A neder is gavra?
A neder is chefta. A neder is, this object is also to me. A shvur is, I is gavra. I will or I won't do such and such. For that reason, one of the differences we mentioned is neder. When we're talking about nidre iser, then it can't be when it comes to nedarim. Okay, so there's nedarim of tzedakah and such like, which are positive nedarim that I will give X amount of tzedakah or whatever. But other than that, the standard kind of nedarim that don't really involve a mitzvah cannot be positive things. A person can't make a neder I will eat this loaf of bread. That's not a neder. That's a shavua. That person can say, I will give tzedakah, because tzedakah is a mitzvah. So that's yeah.
So the shvur is positive, not negative.
So the shvur can be either positive or negative. Either positive, lahara or lahetiv is the way to put the positive. Positive. A neder can only, a regular neder, as opposed to nidre hektish or nidre tzedakah or whatever, can only be negative. Right. It can only be this thing is also to me. Or this hana from this person, etc. is also to me. Yeah. Okay. Okay, the question is,
What is another
has to, it's from last week's parasha. He has to, he's not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to eat
no,
any.
What is it?
Oh.
What does he take? Is that it?
So then we're saying that he's taking on himself Nazirus.
Oh, Nazir is its own thing.
A Nazir is its own, yeah. It's a type of neder, but it's a specific type, yeah. Question is, when he says Hareini Nazirus, you're saying that if he says Knidu Rishayim Hareini, then that means that he's accepting Nazirus. Why? Dilma Hareini B'tainis Kamar. Maybe it means, behold, I am obligating myself to fast. The answer is, Amashmo Kreyan Nazir over Lafano. Yes, but we're talking about that a Nazir is walking in front of him.
Cannot have the Kavanah even when he's walking.
No, because taking all that together. So the Ran points out like this. If he hadn't started out by saying Kenudri Rishoyim, if he just, the Nazir is walking by and he says Hareini, that's too weak to be considered even Yad for Nazirus. So then nothing happens.
So Hareini alive?
Well, so actually this is what the Ram says his Rebbeim say. The Ram first explains that his Rebbeim explains as follows. There's a difference whether he says Hareini or whether he says Ehei. We talked about the other day, and it says at the beginning of Nazir, that if he sees a Nazir walking by and says, hey, I will be like him, then that's enough to make him a Nazir. Ran quotes his Rebbeim, who say that Hareini is different. Hareini by itself is not strong enough. You need together with it, Kenudri Rishoyim. And then taken all together, that implies that I want to be, that I'm accepting on myself to be a Nazir just like him. The Ran himself disagrees with that. He says that Hareini and Ehei are the same thing. No, the Mishnah is just mentioning Kenudri Rishoyim just to set up the contrast with Nidre Kshedim. But not to say that if he said Hareini by itself, it wouldn't be effective, as long as the Nazir was walking by.
What would Nidre Rishoyim be for me then?
So that's the thing. According to the Ran's own explanation, even if it's not Kenudri Rishoyim, if a person just says, he sees a Nazir walking by and says Hareini, then he becomes a Nazir. How about a live carbon? Fine. What about heimenu b'shvur? When we say that if he says kenudri rishoyim heimenu, that according to the nedarim of rishoyim from it, and we're saying that means a shvur, that he's implying that I won't eat from this bread or whatever. How do you know? Dilma heimenu d'achil makom. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he's saying I'm swearing that I will eat it. Heimenu from it could mean either positive or negative. Amar Rava d'amar heimenu shelo oichal. Fine. What he says is that the Kenudri Rishoyim, like the Nedarim of Rishoyim, from it that I won't eat. question is, Yochemai Lememra, well then what's the Chiddush? Then that's pretty much, it's set a complete Shvur over there. The answer is, Ma'ud Tema Holei Mapik Shvur Mipume. The fact is, he has not used an expression of Shvur. And in fact, he started out by saying, Kenidre Rishayim, not Shvur. Kamash Molan Hadein, that's the Chiddush is that still works.
That still works,
it's still considered a Shvur.
Although?
Even though he said, Kenidre Rishayim Hei Menu, that I won't eat. And there's no word of Shavua. There's no expression of Shavua in there. And in particular, Shavua, first of all, would have to involve Hashem's name, or at least one of the Tanuim of Hashem. Here, there's nothing of that. There's not even the word Shavua. There's the word Neder.
Right.
Nevertheless, put it all together, it counts. Put it all together, it counts as a Shavua. Because again, by beginning with the preface to Nidre Rishoyim, he demonstrated that he wants to bind himself by some kind of thing that Rishoyim, people who are careless, the type of people who are careless with Nidorim and Shavuos do. And in this case, by adding the word Heimenu means that he wants to create a Shavuor. And Shaloy Eichel clarifies what the Shavuor is. So therefore that works. Then the Mishnah continued, Kenidre Ksherim Loyam Aklum, that if a person says, I'm making a neder like the Nedarim of Ksherim, then that doesn't count for anything, because Ksherim don't make casual Nedarim. Kenidvoisam, we said, but on the other hand, if he says like the Nedava, then Nadar Chulo, then it means that he made a neder in Nazir or Korban, as the case may be. So the question is, the Gemara asks, so what are we saying? We're saying that there's a difference then between neder and Nedava, as far as the propriety of doing one versus the other. The question is, Man Tana Deshani Le Ben Neder L'Nedava. Which Tana is it that makes such a distinction? Who says that a neder is not a good thing to make, but a Nedava is? What?
Not all Tanaim.
Not all Tanaim that way, apparently. And the problem is, Lema Loyer Meir V'Loyer Rabbi Yehuda. It seems on the face of it that we have two Tanaim who discuss this issue, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that our Mishnah doesn't go like either of them, because neither of them makes that distinction. The Tanya, it says in a Paraisa, there's a pasuk in Kehelos that goes like this. Two psukim back to back. It says Toiv Asher Lo Tider V'Goyma. It's better that you don't make it. It's better that you don't make a neder. Toiv Asher Lo Tider Mishatider. It's better that you don't make a neder rather than you make a neder. But if you make a neder, then you have to fulfill it. And then the pasuk continues, Toiv Mizeh Mizeh. And then even better than that is that you don't make a neder in the first place. So how do we understand those psukim? So Toiv Asher LeTidur V'Goyim Toiv Mizeh Mizeh means She'en a neder Kol Iker Divir Meir. It means that the pasuk is saying even better than both of the above, the one who makes a neder and the one who keeps it is somebody who doesn't make a neder in the first place.
What's the difference to say Toiv Asher LeTidur and then Toiv Mizeh Mizeh?
So one
seems to be general. Toiv Asher LeTidur, it's general, and one is more specific. Mizeh Mizeh.
You know what? Let's go grab a Chumash Devarim, which will have Kehelos in the back of it, and then see the actual
subject
with me,
because we're fully washed up. Okay. Well, the difference is that keeps the letter, so the other side of the
I don't know.
It's better that both of them is better that
will
make
another first. The shot is that if he doesn't keep it, it's better not to do it. What do you need to say that?
Even
the
no,
no, no, no.
Okay, so as far as that, what's the chiddush about? Obviously, it's not good to make a neder and not fulfill it. We'll talk in a second. The Ram says something about that. But wait, let's first look at the psukim inside. Okay. Kasher tider neder l'Hashem alekim. When you make a neder to Hashem, al ta'achal l'shamay, don't delay in fulfilling it. Kiyen chefetz v'kfilim, because Hashem doesn't like fools who just talk and don't do. Esa shetider shalim, whatever you promise, you have to fulfill. Then the pasuk continues, Toiv Asher LeTidur, better that you shouldn't make a neder, mishetider v'loy t'shalim, rather than you should make a neder and not fulfill it. So the question, well, that's that we'll talk about in a minute what that second pasuk is teaching us. But the question is, what is the pasuk saying? Toiv mizeh o mizeh, better than both of them. From Kehelos, yeah. Yeah, so what Tov mizeh o mizeh. It's saying better than both of the above. So what's better than both of the above? So Rav Meir is saying, Rav Meir, she'en a neder kol iker. Somebody who doesn't make a neder is better off than somebody who made a neder, and certainly better off than somebody who made a neder and fulfilled it, and certainly better off than somebody who made a neder and didn't fulfill it. So according to the mayor, what the pasuk is telling us is like this. There's making a neder and not fulfilling it, that's the worst. Making a neder and fulfilling it, that's the next worst. Best of all is not to make a neder in the first place.
But that's just what we said previously.
Right. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Tov Mizeh Mizeh Neder and Mashalim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The Tov Mizeh Mizeh means that better than both of the above, it's better, the worst thing is to make a neder and not fulfill it. The next worst thing is not to make a neder at all, and the best thing is to make a neder and fulfill it. So it comes out. So either way. So Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are basically arguing whether it's better to not make nedarim or is it better to make them and fulfill them. Either way, neither of them is drawing any distinction between neder and nedava.
But according to first lashon that we said, which is this goes according to the one who says it's better not to make a neder.
Because the pasuk is saying Tov Asher Lo Tidur Mishut Tidur V'Lo Tishalim. It says it's better not to make a neder than to make it and not fulfill it. So what's the chiddush in that? By the way, you're asking.
Yeah.
The Ram says the chiddush is like this. You would have thought, if not for that pasuk, that maybe it is actually better to make a neder.
Yeah.
Even though you make a neder and then circumstances prevent you from fulfilling it, at least maybe you should get credit for making the neder. No, that's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us. That no, don't think that way. If you're going to make a neder, then you're on the hook to fulfill it. Don't think that because there were circumstances, therefore maybe you at least get credit for making the neder. No, you don't get credit for making the neder in that case.
You have to
fulfill it. Anyway, the point is, neither Rav Meir nor Rav Yehuda is distinguishing between neder and nedava. So who's our Mishnah like? The answer is afilu tamer Rav Meir. You could say that the Mishnah is like Rav Meir because tifamer Rav Meir b'neder. Because Rav Meir is just talking about neder because that's what the pasuk is talking about. B'nedava like Kamer. Rav Meir is not dealing with nedava because the pasuk doesn't mention anything about nedava. It's not relevant to what he's discussing. Question is, okay, you're telling me that Ksherim don't make a neder, and you're telling me that Rav Meir is saying that, and you're telling me Rav Meir is saying that it's good not to make a neder, that the best of all is Shein and Neder Kolikar, but our Mishnah said, V'hakatani, can advise some nadav and nazir of a carbon. What did the Mishnah say? That if a person says, I'm promising according to the nedavos of Ksherim, then it means nadar, malosh and neder, the nazir of a carbon. So you see that Ksherim make nedarim. So the question, can advise some means nadar and nazir of a carbon. So you see that Ksherim make a neder. Because that's what you said. What does the nedavus mean? It means a neder of nazir or a neder of carbon. So you see that Ksherim do make nedarim, which, okay, the Ran points out that really the question could have been... No, so we said can advise Ksherim, but so what's the word neder doing in there? What's the word neder doing? It's okay. The Ran points out the question could have really gone earlier. The Gemara didn't have to wait till we had Rav Meir's opinion to mention it. I mean, the question is really on the Mishnah itself. How does nidvoisam turn into nadar? But okay, now that we're trying to explain the Mishnah like Rav Meir, then the question becomes even sharper. If Rav Meir is saying, based on a pasuk, that the best thing is not to make nadarim, then why is the Mishnah using the word neder? Okay, the answer is very simple. Tani nodav v'nazir v'kogon. Okay, so they mixed up the word nodar and the word nodav. What it meant is nodav. They made a nodava of nazir and a nodava of carbon. So it would still fit with Rav Meir's opinion. Ksherim don't make nedarim, because again, according to the mayor, the pasuk is saying the best thing of all is not to make nedarim at all, even better than making them and paying them, unlike Rav Yehuda. So therefore, you're right. The Mishnah is not using the word neder in the connection with the Ksherim. It's saying can advise them. If a person says that I'm doing something, that I'm making a vow according to the nedavos of Ksherim, it means nodav, not nodar. But Nadav with a vase, the Nazir of a Korban, in Nazirus to a Korban as the case may be.
And the Nadav is not held to it? I mean, what's the difference?
So, no, that's what we said before. That's what we said before. In the case of a Korban, there's an actual difference between Nadarim and Nadavis, that a Nadavah is not Chayiv Achrius, so he's not responsible to bring another one. And in the case of Nazirus, that's what we said before, that Ram said that there isn't an actual practical difference. It's more of a difference in his intent. Neder implies that he's just doing it casually. Nedava implies that he's doing it the same Shemayim, in a way that Hashem accepts. Okay. Question is then, Maishna Noidu Deloy, Duma Ostibola Data Kola. Fine. So what are you telling me? There's a difference. What are you telling me the difference between Noidu and Nedava is? So what are you saying that Kshayim don't make a Neder in the case of a Korban because it might lead to Takola, it might lead to tripping up? Namely, primarily what we're talking about is the problem of Baal Tachar, the problem that we discussed previously in the Masechta, that you have up to three regalim to bring your korban, and if you don't then you're over on a mitzvah. So we're saying fine, then we're saying Kshedim don't want to make a neder of a korban because what happens? Then they may end up forgetting to bring it, or it gets lost, and they have to replace it or whatever. And by the time they do that, three regalim have passed.
So it's not about the neder. It's about whether or not...
It's about that they might delay. Right. Well, then the question is, Nadava Nami Loi, Dilma Asibel Vadeh Makala, fine, wouldn't you have the same problem with Nadava?
Yeah.
Now...
Because of that.
So he wouldn't want to make a neder because he might end up with Baal Tachar. So, okay, so here's the thing. So Rashi over here, or the Mefarish, whatever we want to call him, because not really... Wait, so Rashi, or the Mefarish, whatever we want to call him over here, because not really Rashi, says that the Takala in the two cases is different. The problem with neder is the problem of Baal Ta'achar, that you might end up delaying bringing it, given that you haven't designated one particular animal yet. You only just said, I have an obligation to bring a korban, then you may get careless and not bring it by three regalim. The case of Nadava, rather, is something different. So Rashi says over here a bit of an odd statement. He says that in the case of Nadava, since you designated to begin with one particular animal, then there wouldn't be an issue of Baal Ta'achar, he says, because it already... So to speak, it's in the Eibishter's treasury already. Wherever it is, that animal already exists as a korban. The fact that you're delaying and bringing it is neither here nor there. Which, like I said before, everybody jumps on Rashi for that. Rav Ransburg at the bottom of the page over here talks about it, and many other achronim talk about it. But there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says you are a grand Baal Tachar. So they give a variety of different answers, including
for
Nadava, yeah. But
Rashi says you're not.
And Rashi says you're not. So what does that mean? So they have a lot of different answers, including one of them that we're going to say in a second, that it's possible to declare a Nadava right before you bring it as a korban, and then that way you're not likely to have a problem about Tachar. Okay, there's a lot of different answers. Anyway, what Rashi says is the Takala with Nadava that the Gemara is asking about is that during the time from when you designate it as a korban until you actually bring it, you might end up using it. You might end up doing work with it, which is also, you might end up shearing it, which is also. So either way, then, it would seem that even declaring an adava, you have problems. Well, if it gets lost, that's not necessarily a takala. Again, if it's an adava, then you're not responsible. You don't have to make it up.
But you should operate that.
And if it's lost, it's lost. I mean, you're
right.
No, that's the thing, you're not. If you say this particular animal, Nadava, the definition is you're saying this particular animal is designated as a korban. So if this particular animal isn't available, that's it, there's no more here.
But not in Nadava.
Not in Neder. Somebody else? Okay. I mean, there's a Mishnah in Shkolim. There's a Mishnah in Shkolim who was actually in today's Tzvi Prakim of Rambam as well that discussed the Mishnah and the Yerushalmi that we learned on it there discussed a whole bunch of cases where if you find an animal within a certain distance of Yerushalayim, within like 15 miles or something of Yerushalayim, there's a strong reason to assume that it might be a korban, and therefore depending on the type of animal it is, there are various steps to take to make sure that it's brought as the appropriate kind of korban if possible. So it won't necessarily be a takala that somebody will find it and end up using it, because those rules make it practically certain that it will be brought as the correct kind of korban. But you still have the takala that you yourself might forget and use it. Okay.
What was designated as you make use of that animal? That's
a then you're on a lav lo yisavid b'chor sherecha. If you chayv malchus for it. Yeah, that's like most lavin. Okay, So the answer is you can do kehilah ladakin. You can accomplish a nedava. You can accomplish bringing a nedava and do it like Hillel did. And that can be called kenidrei tshevim. How would the Cherim make an Adava like Hillel does? The Tanya. Amru all about Hillel Azakin. They said about Hillel. Shaloi Maal Adam by Lase Kol Yamav. Nobody ever committed Me'ila with his Ola or any animal that he brought as a carbon. Why? Meviyak Shi Chulin La Azara. Because he would bring the animal to the Azara while it's still Chulin. Umakdisha. And then once he brings it there, then right there on the spot, he would declare it Hektish. And then immediately he could bismich on it, b'sheichta, and shecht it right then and there. So this way, up until that point, up until it's brought to the Beis Hamikdash, it's still chulin. There's no problem. So okay, what? When we say he brought it to the Azara, the Ram says we don't literally mean into the Azara, because then you'd have a different issue. You can't bring chulin into the Azara. So he says it means right outside the door. He'd stand right outside the door. This animal I'm designated as a carbon, and then he'd lead it in. But at least that way, there's no real time for anything to go wrong.
And if he designates it before getting into the Azara,
that would be a problem according to the Ram, because it wasn't hektish, it was chulin. Tosfos discusses in a few places that maybe that's not the case. That maybe he actually could bring the animal into the actual Azara and only then designate it, because he's doing it for the sake of a carbon. So therefore, that's allowed. There's other Rishonim also talk about the idea that maybe as long as the animal hasn't been shechted yet, it's not really suitable for a carbon. It's like when we say you're not allowed to bring cholin into the Azara, for example, there wouldn't be a problem necessarily, let's say, bringing a cookie into the Azara. It's not something that's suitable. It's not something that's suitable for a carbon. So the same thing here. Until the animal is about to be shechted, it's not really suitable. Yeah.
Is the whole point of a neder and allowing yourself to do something? He's saying at the last minute.
Okay, but no, so a nedava is not necessarily to be mizaris yourself to do something. A neder might be more that. A nedava is more, I want to give the Eibishter a present. So fine, then. He makes sure to do it at the last possible moment in order that there's no problem with Takala.
Now, when the process is actually coming, is it through your mind or is it through your speech?
It's through your speech. You would say, Hare Olai or Hare Zu Karban, yeah.
You're coming.
Oh, okay. So the Rosh discusses over here. Therefore, so does this mean then that this is the only way of nidvas ksherim, is only if the animal is right outside or just inside or whatever the azara, or does it mean once we have the concept that ksherim make an adava like Hillel does, then it's valid for even if a kosher makes an adava not quite that way, he's living in his hometown and makes an adava of a carbon, that's also acceptable. Okay, so that explains nedava. Hanicha nedava de korbanis, nedava nezirus ma'ikalameima. Fine, what do you do as far as nedava of nezirus? How do you avoid the problem of takala with that you might fall through? The answer is sabala kashimin atzadik, because we can say like the story with Shimon atzadik. Okay, the Ram takes that word sabala. It's not a matter of a svara, but rather like the story that happened involving Shimon atzadik that we see there. You have an example of somebody who did nezirus for a good reason. The Tanya, Amar Shimon HaTzadik, Reb Shimon HaTzadik, whatever.
The question is,
we're saying that Ksherim try to avoid situations where there's going to end up being a possibility of Tekala, of falling through. So in the case of Nedarim of Korbanos, there can be problems that you might delay. In the case of Nedavos, we said there might be problems that you use the animal or that you might delay also. So we said you avoid that by doing like Hillel did, you makdish it right outside the Azara, or right inside the Azara, whatever. What about when it comes to nezirus? How would a kosher make sure to make a neder, to make a nedava of nezirus in a way that won't that there's no possibility or very little possibility of takala? Because after all, with any nezirus, you might fall through. You might regret that you made the neder in the first place. You might whatever. So you could do like the story of Shimon HaTzadik, and then it won't be a problem. Tanya, Amar Shimon HaTzadik, Mi Yamai Layachalti Osham Nazir Tomei. Throughout my life, I never ate the Osham of a Nazir who became Tomei. We learned in last week's parasha that a Nazir who becomes Tomei has to bring three korbanos, an Ola, an Ola, a Chatas, and an Osham. And then he starts his Nezirus over again. He shaves his hair and he starts his Nezirus over again. Another Tahir brings an Ola, a Shlomim, and an Ola, a Shlomim, and a Chatas.
Why all that? Which one for? Why will he have to bring
three? He has to bring three. That's what the Torah says. Yeah. If you want the...
Once again, the order is different?
No. He made a Nazirus, let's say, he made a Nazirus for 30 days. He becomes Tomei 2 weeks doing it, he becomes Tahir, then he starts his 30 days over again. Okay, so after he becomes Tahir, he brings the Ola, the Chatas, and the Asham, and starts over again. When he finally finishes the Nazirus, the Tara, then he also brings three Kogmanos, with a similar kind of Ola, a similar kind of Chatas, but instead of the Asham, he brings the Shlomim. I mean, if you want the symbolism behind it, you can look in Rabbi Shammai and Rabbi Alter's commentary.
If you want to be stuck on Nazir,
If you want to stop to be Nazir, you got to do Atar Sandonim. Yeah, it's like any Nazir. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Shimon HaTzadik is saying, I never ate the Asham of a Nazir Tamei. Now, not necessarily, Mepharshim say we don't necessarily mean only the Asham. I mean, the same thing would apply to the Chatas as well, the Kayanim eat from the Chatas as well. He's mentioning the Asham because it's unique to another Tamei. Anyway, why is that? We'll say later on the Amud why he didn't. Except, Ela Echa, there was only one. One time a Nazir came from the south of Eretz Yisrael. I saw that he had beautiful eyes and a very handsome face. And his hair was arranged in ringlets. He was a very, very handsome boy. I asked him, my son, what are you thinking of that you're going to be destroying this beautiful hair? What's going on over here? You realize you're another now. You're coming to, apparently he was another Tomei, because that's what we're talking about. He's become Tomei during his Nazirus. You realize now you're going to have to shave off all that beautiful hair. No custom to have long hair, but still, he noticed he had a very beautiful look about him, like he obviously takes care of his appearance.
Nobody said long hair.
No, it was in ringlets. Okay. Amarli, he says like this. Roya Hayisi La'aba Be'iri. I was a shepherd for my father in his city. Halachti L'malos Mayim Min HaMayim, and I went to fill up water from the well, from the spring. V'nistakalti B'Bayashali. I saw my reflection there in the water. My Yetzirah was becoming tremendously strong, and Pachas actually Pachas Kamayim means like impetuous against me, like it was about to run away with me. And it was about to drive me out of the world by having me do Ma'asim Roim, by having me do Averis. Specifically, actually, Maharsha talks about an interesting idea. What specific Ma'asim Roim? What was his Yetzirah trying to get him? This boy who was from the south is associated with Chochma, and he had a beautiful face and the long hair and everything, and he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd, much like David and other great people in Jewish history. He was actually a Chacham. He was a very smart person. So his Yetzirah started convincing him, what are you sitting over here pasturing your father's sheep doing Kibbutz Av? You're much better than that. You should be rebelling against your father. And he realized that the Yetzirah is trying to get into that. So I said back to my Yetzirah, Rosha, what are you being so proud of a world that doesn't belong to you? And you're being proud on somebody who in the end is going to be dust and worms. Havoida, I swear by the Avoida of the Beis Hamikdash, which is a standard kind of shvua, or standard kind of ned or whatever, that I will shave you l'shem shemayim. I'll become a nazir, and I'll have to shave my hair l'shem shemayim. And with that, he broke his yetzahara. So the Maharsha continues on this theme that the guy realized, this younger man realized that I'm in danger of going the same way as Avshalom did. Avshalom, in fact, the Gemara says, was a nazir. Avshalom, the son of David, was what's called a nazir olam. He was a situation where basically he does a new term of nazirus every 12 months. He shaves his hair, he brings his korbanos, and starts his nazirus over again. But we see that didn't make him a good person. Now that Abba, he went and rebelled against David and wound up being hanged up by his hair on a tree and then killed. So this younger man realized, I'm in danger of doing the same thing. Well, if that's the case, then I'm gonna cut that off at the root. I'm not gonna go like Avshalom and go rebel against my father. Abba, I'll go and I'll become the proper kind of nazir, and I'll wind up shaving my hair, l'shem shemayim, not like Avshalom did, to become more and more Baal Gaiva. No, in this younger man's case, I guess it was 30 days, whatever it is, fine, you know, long enough that at least, yeah.
How many
Because as long as he has to cut it anyway. No, but as long as he's having to cut it anyway to break his yetzahara, he might as well be doing it for a mitzvah. Yeah, the shemaim. Yeah, miyadomati. So Shimon HaTzadik says right away, I got up on a shakti valrosh, I kissed him on his head. Amarti lebni k'molcha yirbu nozir nezirus b'Yisrael. My son, he says, like there should be many people who do nezirus among the Jewish people like you. Alacha akasavaymer. It's about somebody like you. It's you're the kind of person that the pasuk talks about when it says ishki yakli lider neder nazer lahazir l'Hashem. When a person declares to make a neder of nazir of Hashem, meaning that he's doing it really l'shem shemayim. And they also talk about the idea that the Shimon HaTzadik is also keying off the word yakli. There's an Eben Ezra on the pasuk that yakli is meloshin pella. Like it's a wondrous, amazing thing when somebody does this. The Shimon HaTzadik is kind of keying off that also. It's an amazing thing that somebody breaks his yetzahara and becomes a nazir like that.
The pshat of yakli is what?
Simple meaning of yakli is when he speaks it out clearly. We said the other day for that reason that a neder of nazirus has to be clearly stated. It has to be a clear statement.
What happened? Shimon HaTzadik saw his long hair when he saw that he accepted the nazirus at that point?
No, so that the guy is coming now with his karbanos, including the asham of a nazir tamei. So Shimon realized that Shimon HaTzadik realized he's been a nazir now for a couple of weeks or whatever it is, and now he's going to have to shave his hair and start his nazirus all over again. So
he's giving him a rebuke.
No, he's not a rebuke, but he's just asking, what's going on?
What's supposed to do? Yeah. When he already accepted the nazirus.
Fine, but okay, it's still a question. It's still a question.
But he wanted to learn something from him.
Yeah, he wanted to learn. Yeah. There is actually, I mean, the Gemara is going to point out in a second now that sometimes when people would make nazirus and then become tamei afterwards, they would regret it. I don't remember the details just now, but there were I saw some Rishonim who wanted to argue that maybe in fact if a person regrets his nazirus, then maybe he doesn't need Hataras Nedarim for it. If a person in the middle of his nazirus regrets that he ever did it, then maybe he doesn't need Hataras Nedarim for it. So then that's it. And Shimon would have a valid reason to ask him, you know, now that you're tummy and you're gonna have to shave your hair and throw it all over, are you regretting it? But even if not, whatever, yeah, he wanted to find out his motives because that's, yeah, since we said before that Shimon, so Shimon HaTzadik would never eat this asham of another tummy because, as the Gemara is saying, people would tend to regret it. And he didn't want to eat from such karbanos. But in this case, it was an exception. But the point is, the reason why we're bringing it in is to give an illustration. There is an example of a kosher making a neder or a nedava of nazirus purely l'shem shemayim, like this boy. Maske for Ramani. So Ramani asks on the story. Maishna asham nazir tamei deloy achal. So what are you telling me that he wouldn't eat the asham of a nazir tamei? That he wouldn't eat it. The assumption is the asya set. Presumably because why is the asham being brought? Because of a sin. The fact that he became tamei. Okay, even if it was by accident or whatever, it was a careless thing. So then, in that case, by that logic. Shimon HaTzadik shouldn't eat from any asham because any asham is brought because of averus. And he's not saying I wouldn't eat from any asham, only an asham of another. What about asham ne'ilas, asham zelas, etc.? Yeah. Amalei Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah says, "Hainu taima." No, the reason is not because it was brought because of an avera. That he wouldn't have a problem eating such a korban. Rather, the kohenim eating the korban helps complete the person's kapara. The reason is like this: shehin toyin. Because what happens when a person regrets? So Rashi says over here toyin means mispachdim, when they become afraid, or he says it means more like when they become angry, then they make an azirus like on the spot over there in the heat of the moment. The Ran explains rather that toyin means when a person really regrets, I'm going the wrong way, I need to become a nazir in order to keep myself from sliding. So a person becomes a nazir. So far, so nozrin. They become a nazir. So far, so good. The problem is, but then when they become tamei, but rabin alein yimei nazirus, and now they're going to have many days of nazirus more than they expected. Originally, they expected to be a nazir, let's say, only for 30 days. And now it comes out that they have the first 2 weeks, and now they're going to have another whole month. Mischartin behen, and they regret it. They regret that they ever became a nazir in the first place. But nimtum with the cholin la'azara. Now it comes out that they're bringing cholin to the azara. So okay, the Ram says not literally cholin. The fact is they still have the chiyuv of bringing these karbanos. And the fact is the karbanos have to be brought. But it's ke'en cholin. that they don't really have the proper kavana, so it's almost the equivalent of bringing cholin into the agora. Because the average person in such a case would be mischaret, they would regret that they ever did the nazirus in the first place. Because of the hassle of having to start all over again. So therefore he felt that it's not really appropriate to eat from it.
Wait.
So the person originally intended, I'm only going to be a nazir for 30 days. Now it turns out he has to be for 10 days or 20 days, whatever it is, plus another 30 because he has to start all over after he made tumah.
Because he might become tumah.
No, not because he might become tumah, because he did become tumah. We're talking about him. He is Asham Nazir Tumah. So therefore, now at that point, when he says, you know what, I became Tomei, now I got to start all over again, you know what, I should never have done the whole thing in the first place.
And because of that,
Shimon HaTzadik felt that's an improper kavana, so I don't want to eat from such an Hashem. As opposed to, it's a suffix, fine, but as opposed to this boy who came in Adore, there you can see he went into it completely with the Shem Shemayim, and you can tell that he's not having charot on any such thing. Okay, the question is, fine, by that logic, wouldn't the same thing apply to the korban of another tahor? Maybe during the time of his nazirus also, he regrets, why did I ever bother with this? The answer is no, nazir tahor loy damudi omid nafshe, diyachalinda. No, because the difference is, a nazir tahor, if he goes through his nazirus without any problems, then fine, it means that to begin with, he was able to estimate by himself, yes, I will be able to hack this for 30 days. So a person doesn't go into nazirus in the first place if he doesn't think he's going to be able to handle it.
So
if he never became tamei during the middle of it, then fine, Shimon HaTzadik wouldn't have a problem eating his korbanos. Because fine, there's no reason to assume that he would have regretted it halfway through. Right. Only with another tamei, where there's reason to be worried about that, then he wouldn't eat his korbanos. So therefore, that's the difference. So that's why Shimon HaTzadik wouldn't eat from another Tomei's Kobanos. And Mefarshim talk about, does that mean, so what about, for example, the Rosh talks about over here, by the same logic then, what happens, for example, a Nazir became Tomei and then started all over and then brought Kobanos Tara? The Pashtus, the Rosh says, Shimon HaTzadik wouldn't eat from those either. Same logic. The guy never intended that I'm going to be, the guy knew to begin with that he never intended to become Tomei in the beginning. He never intended that he's going to end up doing, let's say, 45 days of Nazirus instead of 30. So therefore, yes, the last 30 days, it may be, originally he intended to go into it for 30 days, but still, he may be starting to have regrets. You know what, I didn't know it was going to last for so long. Mashenkin, if he never became Tomei during his Nazirus, then fine. So that leaves us so far with one possible... No, it's from a kind of personal chomer, yeah. But so far where that leaves us with one possible way of explaining our Mishnah. Why is there a difference between neder and nedava? Why are we saying that neder is something Rishayim do, whereas nedava is something that Kshayim do? Because Reb Meir didn't explicitly make that difference in his Braisa, because he was only talking about the Pasuk, which referred to Nadarim. But because Kshayim have ways of making nedavas in a way that avoids Takala, then Reb Meir doesn't have a problem with that. Reb Meir's problem is he's saying you shouldn't make a neder because the best thing of all is not to make a neder based on the pasuk in Kehelas because you might fall through. But if you do it in Dava, if you do it carefully according to either of these things, the carbon like Hillel did or the Nazirus like Shimon HaTzadik's then you find there's not going to be a problem of Takala and therefore even Kshedim would do that. We'll continue tomorrow with another way of explaining the Mishnah according to Yehuda.